So in this talk, I'm going to be showing you how to make a low-cost directional speaker. I'm going to start a bit with the theory of parametric acoustics. So air is a nonlinear medium, and if you project two ultrasonic waves of different frequencies, you're going to get a sum of those frequencies as well as a difference of those frequencies and all the harmonics. So we can use this to our advantage if you project an audible signal and an ultrasonic wave together. You can hear the difference between those frequencies as an audible sound. So you can see the primary beam consists of ultrasonic frequencies. So in my case, it's 40 kilohertz because those are the transducers I could get from AliExpress. And the secondary beam consists of the demodulated audible sound waves. And it's extremely directional because wherever the ultrasonic beam goes, the sound beam just continues going in that direction. The way it works, basically, is that an ultrasonic carrier is modulated by an audible signal. You need an ultrasonic carrier because these transducers have an extremely low bandwidth, so their resonant frequencies are around 40 kilohertz, and if you deviate off that, they do not work that well. And multiple different modulation methods exist, simplest one being amplitude modulation, lower sideband amplitude modulation, upper sideband. You have square root amplitude modulation, which produces a cleaner signal with less total harmonic distortion because of this takes into account the theory of parametric acoustics, where the equations are pretty complex, so I'm not going to get into it. You have single sideband and modified amplitude modulation. So this diagram shows the total harmonic distortion for each method. And you can see it is pretty low for modified amplitude modulation. But I'm going to get into the details later why I'm not going to use this method for the specific speaker. So you might think, what if you just feed a PWM signal into the speaker? Turns out that this works as well. And I'm going to start with the architecture of my speaker. So you have USB audio on the input. This microcontroller is STM32F411 and CU6. So it has a Cortex-M4 core, as far as I remember, running at 100 megahertz. And it acts as a USB audio device. The reason why this is nice is I can tell the host device, like, hey, 40 kilohertz is the only sampling frequency I support. Please downsample or upsample the audio signal to whatever, which unfortunately doesn't work on Android, because they're like, if it's not 44.1 or 48 kilohertz, we don't know it. Yeah. But it works on iOS as well as Linux. And this is, the USB audio is then modulated on an ultrasonic carrier, and a PWM signal is fed into an H-bridge, and it's powered by like a 4S lithium-ion battery that I made. And the impedance matching part we can get to later. I have the quick schematic here. You can see the microcontrollers at the bottom. Those are gate drivers for MOSFETs, because I use two N-channel MOSFETs. And that makes driving a bit more complicated, because you need bootstrapping for the upper MOSFET. If you use PMOS, then it's a lot easier, but it's less efficient. And you can see the transducers are just all in parallel on this board. And the driving signals are the same when the speaker is on, because the lower input is inverted. And if you want to turn the output off, you make them complementary, and the drivers stop driving the MOSFETs. So very important part of this, this is one of the reasons I have this one. This one is a failed attempt. This one is a failed attempt for different reasons, because I ordered a batch of ultrasonic transducers, and I tested one of them from one batch, and the body was isolated from the bins. So I'm like, cool, that should work. Then I started building this thing, and the second batch that I used to build this actually had the body coupled to one of the bins. So you can imagine it creates a huge short, and it's really, really difficult to find which one is shorted. So this one is just a reminder to always check your AliExpress orders. And another thing about it, this is really important to match the transducers. I think I have a box of them. So these transducers have a pin mark with a black circle that actually doesn't mean anything. So you have to manually set two transducers up. Use one as the receiver and one as the transmitter. Feed a 40 kHz sine wave into one, connect the other one to the oscilloscope, set them a distance apart where the waves align. Then you can mark them with plus, minus, whatever. And every single transducer that you put on the board has to be matched to the transmitter. So you keep them at the same distance. And if it doesn't match, you can flip the polarity, and then it should match. So all of these are actually phase matched. Otherwise, you would have crazy stuff going on. A lot of harmonics, a lot of interference. So there are some improvements that could be made to this design. Impedance matching, quite important, because these things are a mostly capacitive load. They are not perfectly capacitive, is a bit more complicated, but if you add an inductor, you should get maximum active power transfer into the transducers. So it will generate a lot less heat in those MOSFETs. And I was planning to implement it for this talk, but PostNL unfortunately delivered my package one day later. And higher voltage. These transducers, according to the datasheet, can take 120 volts peak to peak. I drive it with about 30 volts peak to peak or so, because H-bridge makes it go from V-pos to negative V-pos. And that can give you higher sound pressure levels, so you can go a lot further. But even that, I'm not sure if who needs to go this far, because I tested this one, and I could cover an entire football field, actually. So it can go really far. Perfect class D amplifier could be nice, because this one is just an H-bridge, so it's missing the output stage for the class D amplifier, and it's prerequisite for the next item. Because now transducers are being driven by a square wave that's BLVL modulated. A better modulation technique would also lower the total harmonic distortion in case you want to use it in your hi-fi system or something. So a better modulation technique also requires you to have a proper amplifier, because then you can drive it with a sine wave. So if you filter your BWM with a low-pass filter, then you can get a proper sine wave. You can also add a transformer to, first of all, makes impedance matching a bit easier with the transducers. Second of all, you can increase the voltage. Now we go to the fun part, live demo. So I'm going to quickly connect this. I really hope the microphone doesn't freak out, because for this stuff, has power. If I point it here, you can see the sound is coming from there. Point it up at the ceiling. You can maybe let the people on the internet hear it. That's what happens when you have an extremely sound with an extremely high sound pressure level near a microphone. It wiggles the diagram so much that you get so much distortion. And really good references. So the paper View of Parametric Acoustics in Array in Air, that really helped me to understand the theory behind this phenomenon a lot better. And the next one helped me to learn about the modulation techniques that exist, even though I didn't end up using it. And the design is open source, it's on GitHub. The software for the microcontroller is written in Rust. And yeah, you can find it here. And thank you so much. Any questions? Can you pass the microphone?
Do you have a dog?
A dog? No. Thankfully not. It would have freaked out.
So what's the main reason that you're interested in it, and what's your like practicality, what you want to use it for?
Good question. The main reason I'm interested in this is because it's fun. So having a directional speaker like this, you could really kind of point it at someone and they're going to hear it. So it has a lot of fun potential, let's say. And also I really like the theory behind this, and the fact that I can shoot the sound anywhere. And what freaks people out is when I point at the ceiling and they look there and there are no speakers at the ceiling, the speaker is actually here. So what you could do is you could point it at a wall somewhere like 100 meters away, and then the person is going to hear it coming from the wall. They'll think they're going crazy. They're hearing voices.
Yeah, that's why I'm curious, because I've seen it for people use it for Halloween.
And, oh, yeah.
At some point, I want to get some for Halloween as well. So that's
It is quite fun.
Pointed at a person, and you have sort of a reverse ventriloquist. So you can make someone say something.
Indeed, you could.
Why 40 kilohertz?
That's the resonant frequency of the specific transducers I chose.
Okay.
I have a question about the audio source. You mentioned USB audio.
Yes, indeed. So I'm going to take this out. The small microcontroller, you can buy it on AliExpress. It is known under the name of Blackpill, but it's actually an STM32F411CU6. And it has a Synopsys-based USB host. So you can use the Rust library called Synopsys USB, I believe. I actually had to modify it a little bit to support asynchronous transfers. So you, on my GitHub, it actually links to the fork of this library in the cargo.toml file.
Could you use a different source for the audio, or does that
you could indeed? So the reason I chose USB audio, it makes my life a little bit easier, because the powerful device that's sending the audio can do the downsampling. Otherwise, I could connect an ADC to this microcontroller, for example, and then do downsampling myself. So going from 44.1 kilohertz to 40 kilohertz. But it's extremely annoying, because it's not a multiple. So
it would be great if we could connect it to an Android at some point. But
yes, it would be great. But it's something future improvements. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions?
Or maybe Android can add support for arbitrary sample rates, then it would work.
There are some sports where it's in forbidden to have earpieces, but this speaker would be a really great.
I can imagine, but the problem is that if you point it at someone, others are also going to hear it, because the sound is going to reflect from that person. So it's not as discreet as you may think.
Yeah, but for example, with horseback riding, let's see possibilities.
That could be interesting, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. I don't take any responsibility for your actions. So.
Somebody knows a deaf horse.
No, that's it, I think. Yep.